please take a seat. Now, all those gifts need to go in the first instance to the church room. So if you're able to grab some and transport them over to the church rooms after the service, we'd be really grateful for your help with that, or it would take a very long time. Now, I know some of you know a lot about farming, and some of you are very keen gardeners. Perhaps you've got a vegetable plant and other things you're trying to grow. So can you think of some of the things that a farmer or a grower might need to do if he wants to get the best possible crop? Yeah, they might need watering. Fantastic. I think you've got another idea. Save it for a moment. What else? There might be some watering. Feeding. Okay, yeah. I'm not myself on strong poetry here, but there might be some kind of, like, manure or other stuff that you put on the earth or something. You can get tomato food, can't you? Liquid that you put in the watering. Yeah. So, what did you say? Watering? Watering and feeding? Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Keep off those nasty invading animals that are going to come and gobble all your produce before you get to eat it. Yeah? Yeah, Matthew. Sunlight. Yeah, not a lot you can do about that, is there? I suppose you can make sure you plant it in a good position or don't have a sort of shady tree next door. You might have a greenhouse or a polytunnel or something, I suppose. Maybe other things you can do about all those little critters in the garden, aren't there? I think you could try and introduce something that might eat the thing that's going to eat your thing, maybe. Planting, you've got to sow the seed, haven't you? Yeah. No good if it just remains in a drawer. Absolutely, you've got to plant it. There's even some stuff to do before the planting, isn't there? Nematodes, they could be the easy things. Yeah, yeah. And then there might be some weeding, yeah. Yeah. Ploughing, yes, all sorts of preparing of the soil, yes. Is that what you're going to say, Judith? Yeah, you've got to bring it in at the end, yeah, yeah. Vivian, you're an award-winning gardener, so what are you going to say? Okay, if you want a cup at the village show, possibly ladybirds. Now, okay, you need to do something with it at the end, absolutely, okay, brilliant. Yeah, great. Well, I'm sure there are lots more things that a farmer and grower might need to do too. But Jesus talks about the seed growing in the parable we're going to hear now, a story with a meaning. And actually, he doesn't focus on any of these things. If you were an exhausted farmer who just brought in the harvest, you might actually feel a little bit miffed at what Jesus has to say. So listen to it and think about Jesus' description of the whole planting, growing, and harvesting process. And Rob is going to read for us. Yeah, you might like to turn to this in your Bible. Page 1006, Mark chapter 4, verse 26. I'm going to say something about it afterwards, so you can keep it open to check out what I'm saying, if you like. Mark 4, verse 26, page 1006. Thank you, Rob. Jesus is speaking here.
Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head.
As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." This is the word of the Lord.
Trying to break the microphone here.
Hope that survives. Yes, good. Sorry. Big Bill.
Right. So, how does Jesus describe the work of the farmer or the grower? The kingdom of God, he says, is like a man who scatters seed on the ground. And then what? So the farmer has planted his seed, and then night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, and then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And soon the grain is ripe, and he puts the sickle in, because the harvest has come. Well, what's Jesus' description of the work of a farmer? It sounds quite good, doesn't it? He scatters the seed, and eventually he's going to have to do the harvest at the end. But what is the work of a farmer? Well, 90%, nothing. He just puts his feet up. He lies there in bed, he does nothing. Day or night, he knows not how the seed grows and develops. Well, elsewhere the Bible does speak about the hard work of farmers. And of course we're grateful to God today for all those who contribute to the harvest in many and various ways. But Jesus' focus here is not on the cleverness or skill or hard work of the farmer. It's on the miracle of that grace, the power of the seed, that God gives the grace. So it's a reminder to us to be thankful, not only to all the human beings on whom we depend for the harvest, but ultimately on God, for whom we depend on everything. And it's true that in your science lessons, they can tell you something about how the seed grows. But Jesus is saying, it's basically a miracle. It's a gift. God gives the grace. God does it all. The power is in the seed. And Jesus is really talking about the kingdom of God. Not just about natural farming, but about the seed of the word of God. The good news about Jesus. And he's encouraging us to scatter the seed, to plant the word, to share the good news of the Lord Jesus and the Bible with others. Now, of course, there are different ways we can do that. Some of them better or worse or whatever, more effectively. Of course, we should be hard-working in our service of Jesus and of others. But Jesus is saying, the great thing is not what you do, not your brilliant evangelistic strategy or whatever. The great thing is the seed of the word. That's where the power is. That's how God gives life. It's the message about Jesus, which is life-changing and transformative, not your clever strategies or gimmicks or anything else that might go with it. Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, I brought a mustard seed with me, which, appropriately enough, is so small that you... Oh, dropped it already. But it doesn't matter, because they're so small that you couldn't see it anyway. And that is the point, really. Think of a seed. Small, tiny, seemingly lifeless. It seems hopeless, doesn't it, to plant that in the soil and think it might turn into a crop. If Jesus was an Englishman, he might have said, the kingdom of God is like an acorn from which a mighty oak will grow. And you know, it's like that with Jesus and the good news about him. Think about Jesus and his disciples. They were a tiny band of people, not really rich or powerful or influential or super clever or anything like that. What happens to Jesus? He ends up being crucified and he dies. But God is able to bring new life even out of death. Just like a seed that looks dead and is planted in the ground, Jesus didn't remain dead, he rose again. And the good news of the Lord Jesus began to spread and grow all around the world. Thousands came to faith in the book of Acts. And that spread of the good news about Jesus has been going on ever since. It's true that many churches in the United Kingdom, Western Europe and North America are struggling. But still, all around the world, in Asia and South America and Africa, the church is growing like wildfire. Jesus would say to us, it's that seed of the gospel which works. It's powerful and effective. It grows into such a great big bush that even the birds of the air can come and shelter in it. All the nations are invited. Everyone is welcome. Well, what are we going to make of these two little parables today? Let me say two things. Firstly, maybe to someone who is not yet a convinced Christian believer. Number one, Jesus would say there's great power in him and his word. It's really worth checking out this good news about Jesus because it remains life-transforming power. Maybe you have questions you want to ask. Maybe you'd like to read the Bible with someone or join a small group. It's really worth somehow finding a way of looking into this good news about Jesus because it's still important and powerful and effective. And secondly, to those of us already paid up Christian believers, Jesus would say, well, scatter the word. That's a great thing. There are many different ways to do it. There are lots of different things you might do. But the great thing is to share the good news of Jesus because it's still powerful and effective. It can still grow and transform. Let's pray together. We thank you, our Father, for the miracle of growth, of the harvest, and for all the skill and hard work that goes into it. But above all, we thank you for your gift, for that gift of light on which we all depend, and for your word, the powerful good news of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that all over the world, that good news is still transforming lives and saving people. We pray that you would help us to trust that good news for ourselves, to depend on Jesus, and to share the good news of your word with others. We pray that we too might see great growth and a mighty harvest for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.